We're going to continue our study on the subject of giving. Last week we discussed at length somewhat at length about how that was accomplished during Old Testament times for the children of Israel and how they accomplished that. Just want to briefly touch on the types of offerings or giving that they did. Now, these particular things in the beginning of that nation, if you will, and the success that they had, we talked about that at great length as well, up into the time that their demise as far as in God's favor, was very successful. They did what God asked them to do. They were successful in that, and it proved to be a very prosperous thing for them. But they used several different methods of it, so to speak. We know the primary one was sacrifice. And there were several different sacrifices that they did. And it was the thing that they were commanded to do. They were commanded to tithe. But here's some of the things that they did. Leviticus says that they gave alms to one another. If there were an alms, can someone define what alms are? This is fouling me up. I know where you usually sit. You're not there. Where are you? That's a reasonable explanation. Yes, it's giving of oneself for someone else's benefit. They gave burnt offerings. We talked about those. They gave drink offerings. Kind of an interesting thing. In Leviticus, it said, "And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted." I said that this is in Genesis, the 35th chapter. Jacob set up a pillar in the place when he talked to him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering, therefore, and he poured oil thereon. Now, this was Jacob doing this, not necessarily the children of Israel, but it was an offering that was given. The freewill offering. I think that kind of surprised me. I didn't really expect that. I thought theirs was a commandment thing, and I guess it kind of slipped in under my radar, but in looking at that, there was a number of times that they offered free will offerings. So, as an example, in Numbers, the 15th chapter, and he will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a free will offering, or in your solemn feasts to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd or of the flock. These were things that they gave, which was over and above the other things that they were commanded to do. They gave a heave offering. Heave offering was a shoulder of the animal, and they would give that. It was in addition to, but it was give it. And the right shoulder you shall give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. So there's another one, a peace offering. A meal or meat offering. They gave a peace offering. They gave a sin offering. They gave an offer of thanksgiving. They gave a wave offering. I thought that was an interesting one too. And thou shalt put the all in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his son, and thou shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. These were the types of things we saw in the Old Testament for offerings or giving that they might do. This morning we'll kind of shift gears and move into a different aspect. I hope this color shows up.
Oh, it's good.
In this subject of giving, what is your feeling about what that means? What does giving, when someone says to you giving, what do you think of? missed it. Time. Who said that?
I like it. Right on the money. We're under the money,
if you will.
Okay, that's an aspect of giving, and we're going to talk about that. What else do you think of about giving? Product of giving. Can we say that as a product of giving? I mean, that's I understand what you're saying, but that's a product of giving. Is distributing to the welfare of the saints. We're going to talk about that a little more this morning.
Giving of your talents.
Ah, very good, Dan. Very good. I like that. What does that kind of consist of? Well, I mean, can I say of yourself, giving of yourself?
Well, you share the talents that God has given you for the benefit of others.
Excellent. Are there?
I would term what Kelly's talking about, gift, something you don't expect something in return.
So, giving or, okay, all right. I like, okay, I'll bring, is that kind of what you're thinking of? Okay, I like that. Yeah, that's part of what we were looking at this morning.
Giving of your will.
Excellent. What does that mean?
I can't quite hear you. What I want isn't first.
What I want isn't first. Okay, that's a good explanation of that. So, even though it's number one, it doesn't necessarily mean that money is the first thing we give. And yet, in some aspects of it, money becomes the most important aspect of giving in some circles. You're welcome. And when I say that, there are organizations, there are people, there are things that preach that giving of money is the most important thing. I sometimes spend sleepless nights, and as I peruse some things, I'm come across an individual who purports that if you give this seed money to him, that you'll be prosperous. And he's been very successful at that. And there are others that do that as well. You know, if you'll make this $1,000 contract, and he actually stipulates, if you give me $1,000 worth of seed money, you're going to see great things happen in your life. And that's going to be difficult. I think we can see that. So, oftentimes when we think of giving, we think of it in our pocketbook. And sometimes we equate that to an obligation. And I don't want to put that in the forefront of our minds, because we're obligated to contribute to the work of the church. But I don't like the term obligation in relationship to that. What's a better term for that, a better word to say?
Duty.
A duty?
Commandment.
A commandment? But from where we sit, what we do, is it, what is our mindset? What should our mindset be in giving?
Serving other people. Privilege.
A privilege? I hadn't equated them. That's a good idea.
Love.
Opportunity. That's an interesting one too.
Serving others.
Stewardship.
That's
a good one too. And you said gratitude. And can we umbrella that because we want to? We desire to? And where does that desire come from? Obviously, it comes from in our hearts, but how does that develop? God's blessing. For what? This is good. This is the most interaction I think I've had in a class. So, why do we give? I mean, we've talked about give the commandments. We've talked about obligations and that type of thing. What does it serve? What is the church's responsibility?
To serve others, whether it be physical or emotional needs.
Okay. That's a very important aspect of it. What are we doing?
We're showing God's love through our actions.
Okay. What are we spreading? That should be a little easier. We're trying to, as the church, trying to spread the gospel, trying to inform those that we come in contact with that the church, through Jesus Christ, is an access to God, is our saving, is our salvation. So it becomes a very important role of why we give and what we do. What I want to try and to leave with you is that. And the reason I used obligation, because sometimes we may just, the plate comes by and we put the money in the plate and we've fulfilled that obligation. I don't want us to look at it as that. I want us to look at it as all these other things that we've talked about, that we really want to see this succeed. Now, money doesn't imply success, obviously. That doesn't work. But the church, this function of it has to, obviously requires funds to do that. So that's kind of the path that I want to do. But to that end, and when I look at this, and I say giving is much more than money. We agree with that? Giving is much more than money.
A passage that kind of encapsulates the thought you just had comes to mind in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's talking about the Macedonian churches who had given, even though they were very poor, they had need themselves. Their desire to serve was well done within them and caused them to give even out of their own meager substance to others. This statement in chapter 5, excuse me, chapter 8, verse 5 says, "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." So there's an implication there that they gave themselves, all of themselves, their will, their time, their money, their talents, their gifts, everything they gave to the Lord. Their minds that was already the Lord's. And then they shared what they could with the other church.
Let's see what the results of that is. In Romans, the 15th chapter, in the 26th verse. And I'll move up to the 24th verse to kind of get the picture there. I like to see that. Whenever, this is Paul. He wrote to Rome, the saints at Rome, and he said, "Whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way there by you." Okay, there's an important element too. We want to make sure to keep that in mind. if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution. This is the only time the word contribution is used as just a matter of note, for the poor saints who are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them, verily, and the debtors are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed them to this fruit, I will come to you by Spain. That is the results. That's where we see the things in that when he told them in Galatians to, did I say that right? I've got my scriptures mixed up there. In Corinth, when he told those in Corinth, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. So he did this in all those churches of Galatia. And if you look, you know, it was kind of interesting to me. I went back and just kind of read some of the names of those churches in there, and they just popped to me that we've had them, we've studied them over and over again. You know, when we look at Ephesus and Laodicea and Smyrna and Philadelphia and Sardis, Pergamos, so many of those that have just been out of. Paul was saying to them, I gave this order to Galatians, I gave this order to these other places that we talked about in Macedonia, Achaia, to do these things. What was their purpose? Now this is kind of narrowing it down. There is not a lot of scripture that says give a specific, you know, other than what we've just talked about, give on a specific day, give on a specific purpose. But these examples imply strongly of that need. It was for, well, let me ask the question, see if I made myself sin. Who was it for? What's the term that he used in 1 Corinthians? Now for the collection, the saints. The brotherhood was helping one another in the brotherhood. Not that our responsibility is solely for those in the church, but it is strongly advocated that it helps to support those in the church who are in need. In need, and what we see in that is in need of food, clothing, and shelter. Those are important aspects that we look at in defining what giving is, one of the giving is for. What else can we use these funds for?
Supporting those in the ministry.
Ah. So, can you back that up? I pulled that one on you, didn't I?
Spreading the word.
Okay. Let's go back to what he said, because we said that in Romans, when he said, you're bringing me to Rome on my way to Spain, you know. So he was being helped. There's examples of that Paul was supported. He talked about, let's see if I can find that again, because I'm... I think that's where it's at, right where we were, because it talked about, and it also talks about him being supported. He gave thanks to those that supported him, and there were times when he did without, and he said, I'm okay with that. There were times when he really didn't know, but he had a backup plan. We know that what was his occupation? Tent maker. So sometimes he supplemented his income by making tents. But he saw the need was a difficult for these people who were poor, and they were giving of their own selves, just as it was talked about over here. So the act of giving, and financially and what we support, is important for the spreading of the word. Come back to that thought. David?
Can you talk about tithing last week?
Mm-hmm. What was the purpose of tithing?
And how does that carry into our giving today?
It may establish a principle. Tithing was a commandment because it gave them a point of reference that was easily definable. I'm not sure where you're going with that. So. That's where I was actually referring to that when I couldn't see it in my notes, but that's the place I was referring to, yes.
Those evangelists that are doing the will of God, that
Very good. I'm going to go back to the Jerusalem issue there. And the reason I want to is because, remember, that started at the beginning of the church. And as they assembled together and were organizing the things that would need to be done, the people who had, why were all these people here? They were here for the feast. And they stayed through Pentecost, and there was a large number of people. They saw the work that was going to need to be done. And so the people in Jerusalem sold all that they had and pooled their money together. And what the purpose was to fund that. That's what, and I don't want to say got them into trouble, but that's what led up to them needing this assistance later on, that Paul brings back and helps them through that crisis. It is another example of brethren helping brethren in the brotherhood. We've been fortunate to be able to do that to some extent, and I feel like that's a great blessing. We have been fortunate to support a number of evangelists. We keep them on our radar. Our evangelism effort takes a good percentage of our income. That's because we see that need. So those are valid, good points to that. Good analogy.
The altar of the offerings of the altar. So those that work the altar partook of the altar. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And that's on us. That's our obligation. We command that we as a congregation, we as individuals, are to take on and make sure that those people are cared for.
Okay.
Just getting back to your list a little bit, I think everything that's been summarized can be put in one of three categories. That's evangelistic efforts or supporting those in the ministry, and then the intra-congregational giving, so supporting the people locally. We have examples of them like selling everything and kind of pooling that out because they were living places where they didn't have a source of income. And then there's inter-congregational giving where they were helping, like in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 8, when they were doing one congregation to another. So if you're still trying to build that list, I guess I'd put those three in.
Mm-hmm. You going?
Yeah, I'm just going to say on the list you got up there, the topic at hand that we discussed last week was givings of money. I think a lot of times we get sidetracked into these other things that we are definitely supposed to give also because we serve. And with our time and our talents and our gifts and our will, but the topic at hand seems to be our money, which is our commandment. Didn't want to get too far off of that topic because it's just we have a tendency to do that, even though the commandment is specific and the example of Christ, the example of the widow and the two mites is that would involve money, and we talked last week about the tithing and the whole and that first fruits they came up all the time. It was a lesson, a teaching experience, like the whole types and shadows of the Old Testament. What comes first? What is God's teaching us a lesson on what's important and what's not? And that concept definitely ties over. And some people have problems with different aspects of Christian living, whether maybe it's serving or maybe it's giving or whatever it is. We're supposed to have all of those pieces, and I think the giving we're talking about is monetary. Now we're back to monetary, talking about supporting evangelists and all that. So just as far far as the list up there is concerned, I was all, I'm over here in the corner, so I wanted to comment on that.
I know where you're going, because we had that conversation. And I agree with the concept. This is the giving, and that's where we're really at. I don't want to minimize this, though. I want that to be understood as part of your giving. That I want us to understand that I don't want it to be I fulfill my obligation, and I'm out of here. You know, I come to service obligation. I come, I give obligation. I serve the Lord's, you know, and you walk away from this without anything. You could. I'm not saying you will. I'm not saying we do. I'm saying we could walk out of here feeling like we've fulfilled an obligation. And I want that to be more than that. I want us to realize that there are many opportunities to serve all of us. And we're seeing that need all the time. Dan.
I agree with what Alan says and what you say about that. I believe those bottom four are the most important things right there. But the problem is the question of the contribution of the money to the congregation. That seems to be the singular issue between giving. I think you'll find every other denomination agrees with those bottom four. Question of money and the topic of what the Bible says about giving. And what the Bible says about giving, in particular money, is different from 90% of what the world views it as being. It's to be given freely, willfully, not under any obligation. And so, and in a cheerful manner, too. And I think that's important. If you're giving because you feel like you're compelled to give, it's a bad gift. So to me, that's a bad gift. If you're doing it because you're checking off a box or you feel compelled to give, any manner you give like that, I think that's a bad gift. And that seems to be where the sticking point is on the gift.
That's my point. That the thing that you do is purposeful in your heart. It's something you want to do. Dave, I've got one over here.
Well, Mike mentioned that obligation. That's what they found in the Old Testament law. Giving the tenth, that's obligation. The candy they gave, what? Well, I gave, you know, and then you go away like that there. Well, we're getting into the New Testament. We're giving from the heart. Second Corinthians, the 8th chapter, 2 Corinthians.
There was a lot of information in that chapter. There sure was.
2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter.
Yep.
Said, the 7th verse says, every man according to his purpose has been his heart, so let him give. This is something that comes within us. It's not a gift that is given, but it's something that we purpose within us. That this is what I can give. This is what I've got to provide. And so we give accordingly. God wants us to give from the heart. Our whole service of worship to Him, it comes from within us. It comes from within our heart. And that's what He wants from our giving. And that's the reason it's not an obligation. And that turns out all that other activities.
Jeff.
I think a lot of that can be wrapped up when you think of the story of the Good Samaritan. The idea is that this man recognized the need. He recognized the need. And what he did is when he saw this person straying on the side of the road, he did what his talents could do. He patched him up the best he could. And he took of his time, he combined his talents with his time, to take him someplace that could finish things up. Money played into that. There was probably a gift in there. And it was obviously the other person's will, not the family kind of thing. That kind of ties everything together. And I think what we need to do is we need to train ourselves to recognize those opportunities. And I think that's where you were going, is that we need to recognize ourselves that it's not just this one-time thing, but that we're constantly looking
this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then it goes into, so let each one of him give as he purposes in his heart. So, and I agree with David's comments. It definitely is what has to be from the heart. And I mean, when we raise our children, we raise our children teaching them certain habits. And hopefully after they have their own freedom, those habits will continue. And we don't know exactly why God does the things he does, but he trained his people to tithe in the Old Testament. And now that we're to give of our hearts, I don't think he intended for us to back off on what our obligations were to him, but yet give freely or more than as we continue on.
It's definitely something that each individual needs to contemplate. It needs to be something that he and grasp the understanding of it. That's what's so valuable to it. It's one of the aspects of our Christianity that should be part of joyfully, and I'll get to you in just a minute, but here's the types of things that he talked about. He said, willingly, with simplicity, cheerfully, and regularly every week. That's what he looks for. One comment over here. To sell all that he had? Is that the one you're
talking about? Sell all that he had and give it to the poor. Was that going to be a gift?
No.
No. What Jesus saw was his money was the root of evil. I think what we see is money can be so important to people that there's time spent in the scriptures making us understand that it's just a tool. And if your money's too important to you, you may get the same message the rich young ruler got. You're worshiping. So the things that are most important to you, maybe what God is asking you to do. I'm reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave what? The most important thing to you. If it's limited to a checklist, an accomplishment, it may not be reaching what God wants you to reach.
That's exactly my point. That is exactly my point. This has to be a desire within us. And although the important aspect of it this morning was giving financially, there is more to giving than just money. I need your time. The Father wants your time. He wants your talents. He wants you willingly serving him. And there's so much more to it. It isn't just certain people's responsibilities, it is us all. And it's a great opportunity. The feelings are tremendous when you go over and above. Thanks for your comments this morning.